big headline Monday. The United States and Israel announced a plan to end the war in Gaza if Hamas accepts it. But indulge us a moment to eavesdrop on France. The country has had four prime ministers in 2 years. A conversation in recent days, however, reveals a basis for stability. Nicolas Sarkozy became the first former president to be sentenced to prison following a corruption conviction last week. "It is not me who has been humiliated, but France," he told Le Journal du Dimanche, attempting to discredit the courts. "Au contraire," said Emmanuel Macron, "the rule of law is the foundation of our democracy," the current president posted on the social platform X on Sunday. "The law must be the same for everyone," a constitutional scholar told Le Monde on Monday. "The ruling," the newspaper wrote, "is the result of growing public demand for integrity." It's Tuesday, September 30th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Hundreds of the U.S. military's top commanders with ranks of one star and above are set to gather Tuesday morning at a base just outside Washington after being summoned by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth last week. President Donald Trump will also join. Amid concerns about security and the costs of last-minute travel, the Pentagon has not provided a reason for the meeting to the media or to the admirals and generals, who were ordered to attend in person. A senior North Korean diplomat reiterated at the United Nations on Monday that his country won't give up its nuclear weapons despite numerous demands to do so, calling them crucial to keeping a balance of power with South Korea. Still, his address was more tempered, especially toward the United States, than many of his country's prior remarks on the world stage and elsewhere. Also, Washington renewed $675,000 in funding for demining in Cambodia after a freeze on foreign assistance raised concerns about the future support for mine clearance. Cambodia's countryside is littered with millions of landmines from decades of conflict. Since the fighting ended in 1998, nearly 20,000 people have been killed by leftover explosives. Washington has contributed more than $220 million for demining since 1993. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel had accepted a U.S. plan for Gaza. But prospects for ending the war lean on Arab and Muslim states to deliver Hamas's agreement to disarm. And a U.S. and Israeli threat hangs heavily. Dina Kraft reports from Tel Aviv for The Monitor. Polls show young liberal women prioritize financial independence, while young conservative men prioritize children. Those differing goals aren't emerging in a vacuum. There has long been a segment of American Christians who question the legal rights of women. What's changed is they now have a prominent voice in the Trump administration. Sophie Hills reports from Washington for The Monitor. The raid by U.S. immigration agents of a Hyundai factory in Georgia has done more than short-term financial damage. It has amplified South Korean frustration with its American ally. Lindsay McGinnis reports from Seoul and Tianjin, South Korea, for The Monitor. The Biden administration promoted a tax credit for electric vehicle purchases, in part as a way to reduce climate warming emissions. President Trump is ending the credit, hoping to boost fossil fuels. The next move is up to consumers. Victoria Hoffman reports for the Monitor. Is crime fighting all in the family? The kin in this autumn's crop of mystery books are caught up in everything from blackmail to homicide. Yvonne Zipp writes for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on the Comey case and faith in the law. In today's political discourse, diametrically opposite viewpoints, or asserted facts, seem ingrained. The September 25th indictment of former FBI Director James Comey by the U.S. Department of Justice underscores this rift. Among lawmakers of each party, for example, views are reliably partisan. Yet, in the wider arena of public comment, conservative and liberal observers are more in agreement than in argument. They see this action as a proving ground for the country's system of democratic rule of law and checks on power, while cautioning that lawfare, using courts to intimidate or hinder an opponent, does not honor justice. Mr. Comey faces two charges: perjury and obstruction of justice. The administration's case is seen as generally weak by legal experts from across the spectrum. President Donald Trump publicly demanded that Mr. Comey be prosecuted, even after previous investigations found insufficient grounds to do so. The prosecutor is inexperienced, and technology glitches during an online 2020 Senate hearing muddied Mr. Comey's responses, which are germane to the charges. A judge may dismiss the case on evidentiary grounds or as a selective prosecution, challenging the president's attempts for legal retribution on opponents. Or the case may go to trial. The varied routes forward highlight the built-in guardrails in the American judicial system, which have acted and continue to act against abuses of the system. Conservative voices have pointed to previous cases against Mr. Trump as unwarranted. Mr. Trump himself, as a businessman, president, and ex-president, has benefited from and been bound by those same safeguards of law. He has had lawsuits dismissed, won some, and lost others. Both the president and Mr. Comey are now relying on the judicial system. Even this modicum of faith hints at the deeper roots of society's trust in the U.S. tenet that all men are created equal and presumed innocent until proven otherwise. Such principles informing Western law grew from a Judeo-Christian understanding of God that upholds the spiritual innocence of each person. Law promotes its own sanctity, said the late legal historian and philosopher Harold J. Berman. It appeals to citizens' faith in a truth, a justice, that transcends social utility. Law serves love by creating a soil in which it may grow, Professor Berman said in a 1971 lecture. The fact that the judge listens to both sides of a case, that he opens his mind and heart to both plaintiff and defendant, is designed to exclude prejudice or hatred as a factor in deciding. This is what love demands. And, one might add, this is what enables the law to function at its best. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how prayerful gratitude has the power to bring us harmoniously through new experiences in parenting and beyond. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.